Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today on a new day, in a new week, and in a new month. This is Monday, June 1st. On this Monday, let's return to the book of Job. And since we have not been together in a few days, let's start with some review of what I shared with you on Friday. I'm using the analogy of us going to the stage theater to watch what God does in the life of Job unveiled before our very eyes and ears. And here we are now at Act 1, Scene 3, which takes place in heaven. This is written about in Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And when we left off on Friday, we were halfway through verse 3. I'm reading now about halfway through verse 3 of Job chapter 2. This is Job chapter 2, about halfway through verse 3. God is speaking from heaven, and he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. I want you to highlight in your mind and hear this statement from God, his perspective on what Satan did to Job in chapter 1. Remember that God has created an opening in the hedge of protection that God had built around Job's life. And Satan took advantage of that opening and took away Job's possessions, killing his 10 children. It was a vicious attack designed to destroy Job's faith in God, to make Job curse God to God's face. But note what God says, and he, Job, still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. Adding to his assessment of Job, God tells Satan that Job has held on to his integrity. This word integrity is a key word. It is descriptive of Job's character, who he was as a man of God. The Hebrew word for integrity is popular in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. It means that one's life is integrated, whole, and complete. According to Holy God, Job has integrity. Job held God in highest regard. Job believed in the absolute supremacy of God, and Job believed that before Satan successfully attacked his family, and Job still believes that after these devastating losses. We saw this in how Job responded to God at the end of chapter 1 recently, last week. Then we came down to the point in the text when God says, without cause. This is very similar to Satan's statement to God back in Job 1, verse 9. Does Job fear God for nothing? Here, God turns the statement back on Satan. Job is innocent, Satan, but you are guilty. God says to the devil, you did this to Job. My servant Job did not deserve it. And this is very practical to us. Often when we are in the midst of suffering, of testing and trial, we assume that we must be at fault. I did something to deserve this. I am the cause. But what did I do? God is punishing me. But why? Why is this happening to me? But what we will often fail to consider is that the answer to that question is there is nothing in you that has caused your suffering. You are innocent. The suffering comes to you not because of something you have done, but rather for a divine purpose that is unknowable to you. I've had personal experience with this, and I have had pastoral experience with this. Yes, I've had suffering in my life, and I have had this exact thought. I did something to deserve this, but what? God is punishing me, but why? Why is this happening to me? And I have searched and searched and gone backwards and forwards over my life in detail and in prayer, crying out to God, trying to make sense of my trials, trying to figure them out. I'm a curious personality who loves clarity and likes to ask and answer the why question. But what I have missed is this. The answer can be that there is nothing in me that has caused me this trouble. Instead, God has a purpose, and I will never know his purpose. The purpose is hidden from me in heaven. There are scenes in my own life played out in heaven, and I do not know about them. And yeah, that bothers me. It bugs me. But as God would lovingly say, Too bad, Mark. I am the creator. You are the creature. Now bow in worship of me. I am not accountable to you. You are accountable to me. That is my personal experience, and I also have pastoral experience with this mentality. In pastoral ministry, within a church, and or within friendships, this comes up a lot. People in the congregation, struggling deeply with suffering, will come and ask the pastor why. They blame themselves. I've heard this many times from Christians who feel generally unworthy anyway, that they have not done enough for God to deserve His love and grace and forgiveness. They are striving, really working hard to please God. And then disaster comes in various forms, and the automatic assumption is, I did something to deserve this trouble. I am the problem. The suffering is my fault. I can just tell you, even as I tell myself, that was not the case with Job. Everything that happened to him in Job 1, verses 13 through 19, and what will still happen to him in verses 7 and 8, the next scene, it was not his fault. Job was innocent. Satan was guilty. But still, Job suffered. You and I had better add this possibility for why we suffer. We sometimes suffer for no reason related to us, but rather for God's purposes known only in heaven. Now, I really want you to hear this because someone will ask, does that mean that we never suffer? We never endure a trial that is our fault, that comes to us because of something within us? I can imagine one of you raising your hand to ask this. Listen to my answer. Our trials and suffering can sometimes be the result of our fault. The Bible's word is sin, our sin within us. Again, our trials and suffering can sometimes be the result of sin within us, can sometimes be the result of our fault. For example, God can use suffering to discipline His children. So be careful that you do not rule that out as a possibility. All I am saying is that in the case of Job chapters 1 and 2, this is not what God is doing. God is not using suffering in Job's life to discipline Job. As God Himself says to Satan, "You incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Notice that God says, "without cause." I trust that you are with me. And I want to encourage you to be here each day, for God is, because what we're going to see the further along we go in Job is that while initially, here in these opening scenes, God is not using suffering in Job's life as a discipline for him, that is not always going to be the case. Indeed, God can and God does use testing and trial within every Christian to purify us of our sin and to draw us in deeper intimacy towards His holiness. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, which I will mention again this week. This is Hebrews 12, 6. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. So yes, sometimes our suffering is attributable to discipline in our lives. Sometimes it is not. That is what I invite you to now consider as we keep our eyes and ears peeled to God here in Job chapter 2. We have spent a bit of time here at verse 3 of Job chapter 2 because this is an important verse. We need to capture what the Word of God is saying to us here. And of course, a logical question that arises is this: how do I know the difference between when there is suffering in my life because there is nothing within me that has caused it, versus there is something in me that has caused it? Well, that requires discernment. We need the wisdom of God to properly assess that. With the time I have remaining now, let me give you two practical actions you can take in your own discernment process. First, pray about this. Ask God to show you if you have unrepented sin in your heart that He wants you to confess to Him. Ask Him, is He disciplining you right now? Is he testing and trying you because he wants to further purify you from sin? Well, that can be a scary question to ask the living God, but it is a very valid and good question. I believe he will show you, as he has shown me, because believe me, I am a sinner through and through, and God has and God will discipline me because God loves me. Second, repent. Confess your sins to the Lord. Go directly to him in prayer and spend some concentrated, quiet time naming your specific sin to him. Invite the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Christian, the Lord does forgive us when we ask him to. Genuine repentance always results in complete forgiveness. Thanks be to God. The bottom line is this. Here is what we have learned. Sometimes we suffer because of something within us. We are guilty, like Job later. And sometimes we suffer not because of something within us. We are innocent, like Job now. And I have tried to leave you with some practical action you can take, even this day or this night, that will help you to discern the truth about what is happening to you and within you. I hope that this is helpful for you. When you return tomorrow, Lord willing, we will pick up the text to Job chapter 2, verse 4, and read about what happens next in this ongoing drama. It is always wise to read your Bible along with tuning in via the radio or the podcast, or both. So for next time, read Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That is Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Some of that will be review from last week and today, and some of that will prepare you for tomorrow. It'd be wonderful if you'll be reading the book of Job along with me and your fellow listeners. Later this week, I'll talk more about this and give you some hints on what you can be reading at what point in our time together. I pray that God will speak his truth to you, and I pray that you will listen and that you'll join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.